Breakdown.
I took a ride with a pretty music.
Fellow conspirators for freedom, LG Grande here introducing the latest Liberty Conspiracy podcast. Find it at, of course, Podomatic and iTunes, and spread the word about us if you like the ideas we are promulgating. In this production, we're providing you with some segments that we recorded on a recent radio program, a conversation between me and Mike, otherwise known as Mike Arkey on Twitter. And the subject happens to be an audio clip that we derived from a video of Hillary Clinton claiming that businesses don't create jobs. And she actually said a little bit more than that. That's the general gist of it. And it really opens up a lot of thoughts. She talks about trickle-down economics being an absolute failure. So what we needed to do was look at the historical record, the economic historical record, and also just logically approach that subject to say, now, wait a minute. What is the source of productivity? What is the source of growth? What is the source of better living standards? And the competitive market process, how does that help or hinder? Because she would claim that it does not help, it actually hinders, and that government is the way to go. And we, of course, believe in freedom, and we recognize that division of labor and competitive market processes actually create a greater demand for employment and better people's lives based on individual preferences. So, those are the two stark differences, and Mike joins me to discuss this and hopefully refute some of the things she says and offer people some common sense and historical perspective as to why it's a good idea to leave your neighbor alone when he or she is trying to engage in peaceful commerce with another or with many others. Hey, thanks for supporting Freedom and our productions, and please spread the word about us. You can also follow me on Twitter, at Garth Goldsmith on Twitter, and we'll have another production in the pipe for you very, very soon. I just wanted to get this one out because I thought it was worthwhile. It stands on its own. It's really timeless. You can listen to it anytime. It's just the statements we're addressing, and I think that Mike and I teamed up, and Mike really pulled through and helped me get this all together, so I really appreciate it, and I think it's a pretty good one for you. So thanks for listening, and we'll see you soon.
And I'll stick it deep inside. And I'll stick it.
All right, let's go to Mike. Hey, Mike, how you doing, man? What's happening?
Hey, Guard. Just I saw that on Facebook. You were talking about Hillary Clinton and talking about once again the meme that businesses don't create jobs. It's the government's job to create jobs.
In fact, let's switch over. Let's switch over to that. That was just where I was going to be going, man. So, in fact, if you will stick with me, I'm going to play the audio before we go to commercials. Let me see. Let me make sure I can bring this up. Let me get it up, as they would say. We did a song once called Mr. Steer, and it was pretty funny. Here's Hillary, and I'll play this for the audience before we go. And this is her line about don't let anybody tell you that businesses create jobs. Just amazing.
Don't let anybody tell you that, you know, it's corporations and businesses that create jobs. You know, that old theory, trickle-down economics. That has been tried. That has failed.
Thanks, Mike, for introducing that. You give us a great transition from that Ebola coverage into this, which I think requires, as I said, multiple levels, because she doesn't just say that businesses don't create jobs. She talks about trickle-down economics, and there are tax implications there. So we got to provide some information to people so that they know what she's saying is patently false and economically unsound. But why don't you start off, man?
One, just on its face, when you're basically living beneath fascism, no one should be talking about trickle-down economics or whether or not businesses are you know, like where the economic engine is. When you're living under fascism in an empire, things are so muddled at this point. You can't tell where one thing ends and something else begins.
Yep.
And I think that's one of the biggest things that needs to be addressed is that.
Well, let's expand on that just real quick. So what we're discussing, if people are wondering what, if they hear that term fascism, sometimes that's sort of incendiary for them, and they don't recognize, many people don't even know that the classic economic definition of fascism is private corporations or corporations can be owned and private companies can be owned, but the government will dictate to them how they run. And, of course, there's a feedback loop with our system, which is a fascist, semi-fascist system, where those corporations then feed money back to the politicians when they can get special favors or block competition.
Yes, exactly. Through, you know, regulation and central bank policy. Like, everything's just screwed up.
Yes.
And it's hard to sit there and point at one thing and go, well, that's not, or that's free market, or that's not, because at this point, who knows? Because it's so it's so intermeshed and insidious at this point that it becomes very difficult to understand what's legitimate economic policy, or, you know, how things in the actual economy are playing out versus this kind of, you know, as they call it, public-private partnership.
Oh, God, and when I hear that, man, all you have to do is just replace that term with fascism. And you're right.
Yeah.
I think you were thinking about incestuous. And that's exactly it, dude. Now, for those people who hear what she has to say, and essentially what she's doing there is she's not criticizing the fascist system. She's trying to say that free markets don't work.
Hers is better.
Right.
Her fascism is better
than
the Republican myth of the military-industrial complex and their fascism being better.
Yes, yes. All right. Right. So we got commercials. Let's get into picking this apart when we return. All right, Mike?
All right.
All right. We'll return. Liberty Conspiracy. Rolling along on the Conspiracies radio program. It's Liberty Conspiracy. Oh, yes, indeed, yes. I was just speaking with Mike, and you can find him on Twitter at Mike Arkey, at Mike Arkey, MikeArchy. He's my super special, super high-octane guest. Super. I was just thinking of Bobobo. If you've never seen the Japanese anime Bobobo, it's a crazy thing. He always uses these super moves that he has, but they always have to do with his nose hair. Well, almost. He's like super fist of the nose hair, and his nose hairs grow. It's freaking crazy. It's a total mockery of anime. But anyway, we're just talking about that damn show last night and what a blast it was, and how appreciative I was of Pinch for reading my novella and stuff. And the captain mentioned it in this post on Facebook and stuff. That was really cool. I want to welcome Mike back, and just mention again, folks, the damn great band, and they're very accessible guys and also great musicians. So if you get a chance to see them in New York or anywhere else, please do. The band that's opening for them is The Briefs, and they're fantastic. Mike, welcome back, man.
Thank you, Gard.
Hey, my pleasure, brother. Maybe I'll mention later that thing about the captain and, you know, and me chatting or whatever. But let's talk a little bit more about this Hillary Clinton thing, this statement that businesses and corporations, she says, don't create jobs. As you and I were discussing, Mike, the theme here, I think, is different than those of us who recognize that we have a pretty semi-fascist economy in the United States. She's trying to paint it as there's bad business and there's good government. And she wants, as you said, she wants more government control and messing around with business. She wants more fascism. She's trying to claim that the government will do good and business left on its own doesn't create jobs. And she's also implying, in my belief, she's implying when she talks about trickle-down economics, she's trying to broad brush and indict the concept of lowering marginal income tax rates for individuals earning high amounts and lowering corporate tax rates. So if you don't mind, Mike, I just want to say, do you get that impression? Because I think that's what she's saying.
Gard, all I know is what I experience in my daily life. My employers have never leveraged the state to get what they want pushed through. That's all I know, is that I show up for work, and if I do a good job, I get a paycheck.
Yeah.
If I don't, they fire me.
Right.
And they send me home, and then I never come back to work for them. Mm-hmm. It's a very clearly defined relationship. Mm-hmm. But I can't necessarily say that with a lot of these military industrial complex corporations.
True.
Your banks, your arms providers, certain lobbies and, you know, unions, be they teaching, police. It's this really just murky, nasty situation that we're all forced to pay for. Whereas, in the industries, I used to be a teacher. And I quit teaching because I recognized that I could no longer sit there and get a public paycheck while criticizing the government.
So true. So true. All right. So let's look at one aspect of what you just said, and then I'm going to sort of wing it back, boomerang-like, over to some of these things to lay out for folks. As you say, if you don't do a good job for your employer, you won't be working for them anymore. Likewise, if the employer doesn't do a good job for the consumer will fire the employer. Let's take it that way.
Because employees will fire the employer and will no longer work for them.
Exactly. That's a great point. Every person in this 3-point stool can leave, and the stool falls over.
And that's voluntarism at its core.
Absolutely right. And it's an essential thing. When people hear this sort of rhetoric from Hillary Clinton, it's very clearly an anti-business owner attitude, populist in guise sort of approach. I'm working for the little guy. So what does she want? She wants higher minimum wage, which, as we've mentioned in previous programs, really hurts people from getting entry-level jobs, increases prices, causes extra money that could have been spent on other things to now be spent on things that people used to be able to get for less, and actually destroys job-making opportunities that could lead to a more competitive marketplace and a higher demand for employees because new businesses can start. This is a very important thing. The other thing that she says, that she implies, there are two other things. One is that the rich don't pay taxes. Okay, so I want to go over to the National Taxpayers Union and look at who actually pays the taxes. This one from tax year 2009 hasn't changed that much. The top 1% of taxpayers paid 36.73% of all income tax, all aggregate income tax. The top five.
What you find at a certain level is, you certainly have the people at the top paying an exorbitant amount of taxes.
Yep.
But then you also at the top, when you have this fascism, is that you also find a certain class with armed appropriately with lawyers can sit there and evade a large part of the taxes.
Absolutely.
And on the lower rung of the scale, there's a certain class of people that don't even fall onto the tax rolls at all.
Right, and they're actually net recipients of other people's tax money.
Yes.
Yes.
And so, the thing that they'd like to sit there and put out there is that, the U.S. middle class has, brought forth this massive plethora of jobs and tax revenue, and they have. But what you have right now, because you have, a certain class of the elite armed with tax lawyers falling off the scales, a certain amount of people with unemployment and under, the labor statistics are in the crap.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You have people that aren't paying anything. So what you have is just this middle class that's being crushed to death by both of those, the people that have the lawyers and the folks that just fall off the payrolls.
Right, right.
And the people in the middle are just getting squeezed for empire.
Well, yeah, I think that's a good point. I do want to mention, though, one of the key things, you bring up something that's important to keep in mind. I don't know how much of the top, 10% of earners are trying to evade through, legal means and so on and so forth. But let's just mention
Jamie
here.
Ask Jamie Dimon.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. But I just wanted to mention that the top 10% of earners in 2009 paid 70.47% of all income taxes. Right.
Yeah,
that's not evasion. That's not how much the government asked for of them. That's how much was paid. And yeah. So that's a big deal. Now let's go to the corporate taxes. Now, again, as people who are interested in liberty, I should mention, it is a fascist. It is one aspect of fascism to create corporations, which are entities of the state created by the government that give the people who form the businesses legal indemnification. If they get sued, their own personal assets are not put at risk. The corporation's assets are put at risk. And this is one way that – yeah. And I know that this is one way that people say, well, then corporations can be asked to do anything by the government and they should be hit hard with taxes. Well, as far as the competitive market goes, even these corporations try to compete in the market, even if some are getting special favors from the government or they're trying to get special favors. The vast majority of corporations have to compete against other corporations. I still don't like it, but it's semi-competitive within that sphere. Well, according to the Tax Foundation, most people, as Kyle Pomerleau writes, know by now the United States has the highest corporate tax rate in the world at 39.1%. It sits 14 percentage points higher than the OECD average. However, many will point to all these so-called loopholes that narrow the corporate tax base and say, sure, we have the highest statutory rate, but no company pays that high tax rate compared to
other. That's not
other.
True.
Yes, exactly.
That's not true. They pay out their buttholes.
Yes, exactly. According to these, there are numerous studies. They mention numerous studies that find the United States has one of the highest effective corporate tax rates in the world, looking at six different industries: automotive, aerospace, defense, chemicals, engineering and construction, industrial manufacturing, metals and transportation and logistics. The study found that U.S. corporations face an average effective rate of 30.9% in 2012. The only countries whose corporations face a higher effective rate is in the study was Japan. So I just wanted to mention that. We got to go to commercials, Mike. I know I've spoken
sure.
a lot. We'll let you jump in, all right?
All right.
All right, we'll return. We roll along at Liberty Conspiracy Radio on the Liberty Radio Network. Remember the podcast, and if you get the opportunity, I put out that three-hour-long podcast last week, and I've been waiting. I wanted to get the podcast from last Monday's show released, but I haven't had a chance. I've been editing it and messing around with it a little bit, and I want to get that out as soon as possible. It features Gerald and our current guest, Mike. You can find Mike at Twitter at Mike Arkey, MikeArchy, on Twitter, and I want to welcome him back. We're in the middle of a conversation inspired by an unfortunate, very political appearance by former First Lady Hillary Rodham Clinton. And I often don't use the ad hominems here, but Hillary Clinton espouses the greater, increased seizure of other people's earnings. That's called theft. And whether the government sanctions it or not, it is people taking something from someone that someone would rather not have taken. Otherwise, it would be called a transaction. It would be called voluntary. So government is involuntary. And we're talking about a statement by her saying businesses don't create jobs. One of the most fundamentally important things to do is to allow people who have expendable income to be able to use that income in ways that they see fit, whether it's consumers or it is businesses and employers who think, you know what, I think I'd like to expand. The politicians mess this up in so many different ways, either by taking it and redirecting it into areas that individuals would not have chosen, and instead the politicians are choosing through theft and then redistribution of wealth, otherwise known as taxation, as we discussed some of the tax statistics in the last segment. But also, they can do it through central banking and the banks handing out money to certain individuals. And so, for example, propping up the stock market or bailing out banks that we don't know about. And that money increases the money supply and devalues all of our money at the end of the money train. Once we get it, all the prices have been bid up. So Hillary Clinton is claiming that trickle-down economics doesn't work. So think about this. If you need to start a business, you need to get a loan. That means you have to have people who have expendable capital, real expendable capital, that they can spend on an investment idea. Fake investment capital comes from the Federal Reserve or the Treasury Department of the United States government and is showered on people for political reasons. Think Solyndra, GM. Okay. or other banks. Real capital investment requires business owners to have to decide whether or not there is something valuable that they might be able to invest in and consumers might recognize. Is there a sufficient consumer demand? That brings it closer to a decision that would probably serve the customer. And then in a real free market, if it fails, only that business fails. And other people see it as an example and say, you know what, stay out of that particular sector. Don't do this, don't do that when you go into that sector. It's a learning experience. It's a scientific program that always permutates and continues to go and gives us data as we go along. Hillary Clinton doesn't seem to grasp the very important concept that when people have expendable capital, they're the ones who can leverage it. If you don't have expendable capital, all you have are your own physical resources or mental resources, then you need to turn to other people who have that leverage to be able to invest in you. Mike, I hope I've stated this well. You go for it, man. I wanted to let you just roll.
I would say that, you know, Orwell warned us about this, and he said that ultimately, at the end of the day, the military-industrial complex is primarily only concerned with destroying resources for the public for the benefit of the state. And that is what I think we're kind of up against right now, is there is unlimited capital via the Federal Reserve System available for the government, its military-industrial intelligence corporate subsidiaries, and that's about it. Outside of that, everything is just dust and mothballs for the little guy. I sat there and for years I put my money into savings. I'm making less than a percentage point of interest on what I put away and that I suffered to put away. I lived a really just only slightly better than living out of your car. I had an apartment, but it wasn't much more than that.
A very priestly existence.
Yes, yes.
You eschewed the worldly things so that you could try to save.
Yes, absolutely.
Yes,
and
yes.
I have made less than what would probably, in the last year, what would probably take me out to a dinner at Olive Garden. And that's obscene. That's obscene because I saved. I believe in market-based interest rates and in these things. And because of the Federal Reserve and fascism, I walk away with it's just kind of a bunch of numbers, not really any sort of thing that will build capital or wealth
at
this point.
Well, I was just going to say, it's just so important – as far as economics goes, that people try to get past this emotional nerve that these politicians try to hit so much and stop and look to say, oh, they're trying to make me hate a person because that person has been economically successful, and that economic success typically comes from serving consumers. And this is extremely problematic to me. This is very frustrating because it's so easy to hate the guy who's been successful. You know, as what was it, Morrissey said, we hate it when our friends are successful. It's so easy for politicians to play on this in this sort of populist way. So it's incumbent on us to say, okay, look, put yourself in this position. What would you want to have happen? And it's still difficult to get people who supposedly want to level the playing field to say, yeah, well, what applies to me should apply to others. Typically, you get this sort of mini hypocrisy where they say, well, yeah, I wouldn't do that, but that other guy's a bad guy, so he should be taxed a lot more. It's this selective application of things that drives me nuts, and I just don't see people really coming to terms with that. We have to repeatedly tell people, don't start getting the state to tell other people how to run their business. And of course, if they think that the state should, they actually get something out of it, which is much worse, which is that then the corporations that work with the politicians will tell those people that want the state to level the playing field how to live their lives.
Yeah, and that's the thing is I certainly could never do that. All I want is actual market activity to occur, and with the wars being what they are, that's not occurring. Like, everything is just off.
No, but you know what? It wouldn't even if the wars, and this, you know, you make a good point, but I just want to make sure that I add to the audience, even if the wars weren't going on, the economic Marxist, and this is clearly a Marxist concept, because Marx was able to take the feudalist hatred of the landed mm-hmm. gentry and then apply it to the newly growing business group of people.
Yes.
And you can see it right in the Communist Manifesto. And it's very strange because at one point he says, well, it's great that we have trains and stuff like that, and that's really nice, but we have to stop these people who are making trains and all these things. Like, you know, he clearly had some real problems, but he appealed to people's emotion of the guy who's bigger than me is a bad guy. And unless we can start to tell people that, look, we recognize that corporations get certain advantages, but this principle is so important to express that the big guy is not the enemy. The government is the enemy.
Yes.
And if you have these people who want to tax businesses more, you're still not going to get an answer that really fights the so-called big guy that you fear. The big guy who has made some profits and has capital to leverage is actually going to be your friend if he's not dealing with government. If it's a free market, as you say, then he's going to invest in other ways. And if he fails, he fails. And people see that as an example. Gerald had a note here. Gerald wrote, a tax on a business, in my opinion, is a mere contrivance to tax the people by proxy. The higher their taxes, the higher the cost to consumers, wouldn't you say? And I absolutely right. The businesses can only absorb a certain amount of that, and then they have to pass it on.
I would say that at its core, Boeing and Lockheed and Monsanto aren't evil corporations. They're merely people trying, organizations trying to maintain a profit and loss structure. But their incentives have been perverted due to the actual enemy of the people, which is inherently the state.
Oh, I think that's a great point. And GE, for a long time, has been guilty of that sort of stuff.
Sure.
Monsanto. But then you have, let's say you have a guy who invents something and it's a board game, and it's really popular. All of a sudden, if that guy's really big and he dominates, people won't like him either because he's too wealthy. Oh, he's got this. Oh, shoot, we're out of time. Mike, you rock, dude. This is awesome.
And, always a pleasure, sir.
Yeah, we'll have a lot more to discuss tomorrow. We've got so much. Remember those quotes. We'll get them in next time.
All right.
Thanks for listening, everybody. Be seeing you. Thank you, Mike.
Be seeing you.